2 Thessalonians chapter 3 this morning. As we walk through these books, it was a little over a year ago, my heart was moved. And this morning, I'm not re-preaching one of those messages, by the way, although there'll be some similar content, a whole different application to this passage than what we saw last time. God's word is the same, and yet as we come to different scenarios and situations in our life, often the application can be applied to those scenarios in ways that we didn't originally see. And as my heart was burdened towards our preparation for the missions conference, I was moved again to come to this passage, something that's been a part of my daily prayer practice, and I was again challenged to grow in this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul writing to the Thessalonian church. As you recall, a beloved church, a church that had faced persecution almost from the get-go. As you recall, the time that Paul had spent in Thessalonica was probably a rather brief time. Some have said as few as short weeks. More than likely it was several months before persecution drove him from there. As he went on down the Achaean coast and went on into Corinth, we ultimately end up finding him in the midst of some strong battles in Corinth. And we just last week finished our study in 1 and 2 Corinthians. So that should be fresh in our minds. Paul is writing, as you recall, from Corinth back to the Thessalonians. And as he's in the midst of his own ministry heartaches and challenges, the Thessalonians have been a blessing. He'd written them first, and there had been a wonderful response. He'd found out that they were growing in the Lord, and his heart was enriched. God had used them, and he was just rejoicing. And he writes them again to encourage them in several things that they needed encouragement in. Now he shares at the end of Thessalonians some of his own heartbeat and struggles that he was facing at Corinth and as a result of Corinth. And we've seen some of those terrible struggles. Remember, Corinth was a divided church. Paul, even while he was there, remember, Christ sent his angel to encourage him. Fear not, Paul. I have many people in this place. Acts chapter 18. And so it seems from the get-go that Corinth was a little bit of a thorn in the side of Paul's flesh, if I can put it that way, using his analogy in another way. And yet he wanted God's work to be accomplished even in Corinth. And so he pulls the Thessalonians alongside and says, I need your help. How did he ask them for help? Chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for or of Christ. As Paul approaches his work in Corinth and the ongoing battles that he had faced in Corinth, as we've seen on multiple occasions that we've studied 1 and 2 Corinthians. In fact, remember his last chiding from last week in chapter 13 of 2 Corinthians was for unity and for following the Lord, not following division. Now Paul shares with another church congregation that is beloved in his heart his desperate need for their prayer. When we come to the mission conference, and though there has been over the more recent years an encouragement for churches to go on mission trips and so forth, I realize that the reality is that for the vast majority of us, you won't have the privilege of seeing our missionaries in live work on their field of calling. Just financially is not possible for all of us to do those things. For those of you who can, go. Be a blessing. Be an encouragement. Learn about them. Your heart will be moved. I was at the UNs on Wednesday night, even said something about that, as I recall, because that's where God called him into ministry. But the reality is that most of us won't have that privilege. In fact, in Paul's day, even though we would think that the distance between Thessalonica and Corinth was rather short, it was very probable that many of those in Thessalonica never went down to Corinth. They lived their life there. Now, commerce was strong in the Roman Empire, and I understand that. There was some obviously plenty of movement. But many of Paul's prayer supporters never went to see all of his churches. And yet, there was a vital ministry that Paul desperately needed, and that was the ministry of prayer. How can you and I pray rightly, biblically, for our missionaries? We shared over the years a number of thoughts and ideas from Scripture, but here's some more. Add it to your list. If you recall, when we walked through 2 Thessalonians, I said we should be praying about. That's when it added. I was like, wait a second. Here's some more things I need to be praying about. When Pastor Wright mentioned that the Loves might be with us today, Dr. Love, he probably doesn't remember. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But he preached a message at the Baptist World Missions annual meeting several years ago that was another one of those. Have you ever had in your spiritual life where it's like the Lord just hit you over the head? And that's what happened to me. In the sense like, oh, there's a command in Scripture, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he had sent forth laborers into his harvest field. And you read it, you know it, it's like, yes, we need more. And I was like, wait a second, that's not a part of my daily prayer routine. Shame on me, I'm disobeying the Lord. Well, this isn't necessarily a command, but this is Paul beseeching us to pray for our missionaries. What should we pray for? Well, I've got 3 points here today and a couple of thoughts under each of these points as we try to outline this passage. Again, this is so if you have notes from my last message, almost ignore them, okay? This is a whole different sermon, all right? First of all, I put it this way to help us keep it focused. Pray for protection. Pray for protection. But we're not talking specifically here about just physical protection, though that's often what our minds runs to. So in verses 1 and 2, the protection that Paul is desiring is that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. Obviously, it was the word of the Lord that had been delivered by Paul to the Thessalonians and to the Corinthians. It was that upon which their Christian life actually stood. And he wanted that word to have freedom there. What an amazing thought. That word free course is to mean to run rapidly, to be propagated. I'm reminded of what it says in Psalm 147, verse 15. He sendeth forth his commandment upon the earth. His word runneth very swiftly. Paul wanted the Thessalonians to say, would you please pray for me? I'm having struggles here at Corinth. It seems as though the hearts of the people aren't quick to hear God's word. As James reminds us in James chapter 1, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That's talking about your reaction to God's word. Well, it seemed as though the Corinthians were more about quick to speak against God's word, quick to get angry at what God was telling them through Paul, and that's why they followed those false apostles as we saw there in 2 Corinthians in particular. And Paul was begging, Thessalonians, would you pray that the word of God would have the ability to run freely in the ministry that I'm in right now? I'm sure that the Wrights and many of our missionaries would tell us that as you serve the Lord, probably one of the greatest discouragements as a minister of Christ is to see people that will not let the Word of God have freedom in their life. On the mission field here, there are cultures and societies that are just adamant against God's truth. We're running into that in our own country today. Hate it. Don't want anything. They will do everything. We're making laws against God's Word. That's what we're doing in our country today. Anything that's moral and right, let's make a law against it. All right? And that's the way it is around the world. I think of our missionaries, the Hammermeisters. The Lord in recent months has been prospering them. They've seen several folks. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the prayer letters. But years where their hearts, it's just like the Word of God is just being shut down by the people they're giving it to. I know Darren, know him well enough to know that he's being faithful. If I didn't know him, I would wonder, is he really doing the work of the ministry? No, he's doing the work of the ministry. He gives his heart and mind and soul to it. He's Canadian. He's got quirks, just like I've got quirks. And yet, it's not his fault. Can I put it that way? And he needs our prayer. That the Word of God would have freedom there in Vancouver to reach those people, that international culture that he's sitting in that major city. We could reiterate that for multiple numbers of our church missionaries. Paul said, please pray that the Word of God would have free course, that it would be able to work in hearts, and that it would be glorified. It's really heightening the picture and the analogy here. Not only that it would have ability to work, but that would arouse admiration. You see that the words dignity and worth would become manifest and acknowledged in that place of ministry. There is something rather unique about God's Word, is there not? It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even, if it's possible, the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joint and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's Word is powerful, and it needs to be upheld in high esteem, especially among those who hear it. And Paul said, would you pray that here at Corinth, as I'm serving, that the Word of God would not be just something that the people listen to, ignore, and walk away and don't glorify in their life, but that they would be held in high esteem, in their, that it really is the rule book, the guidebook upon which the Corinthians will live their life and follow. I don't know if parents, have you ever been discouraged when you're trying to help your children grow and do what's right, and they just kind of seem to blow you off? I know that often it's the testimony of parents of teenagers. My kids just don't seem to want to listen to me much anymore. So too, in the ministry of the Word of God, often there are believers that sit in churches here and around the world, and they kind of blow off God's Word. Oh, they're doing their Christian thing, they're at church, they look good. Well, a lot of good things about their life. And yet the Word of God is not glorified in their heart and life. And Paul's saying, Thessalonians, would you please pray with me that God's Word as I minister it would be glorified in those who hear, that they would hold it in high esteem, that it would become the guide and judge for their life, that they would follow it in every aspect of their life. Believer, let us for our missionaries pray on a regular basis that the Word of God would have free course and be glorified in the ministry. He goes on, another thing under protection that he asked to pray for, that we would, verse 2, be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. And the idea of delivered here is that it was already happening. They needed to be rescued. They were already being entrapped by unreasonable and wicked men. Yes, the great apostle Paul found himself often in. Now here, this is wonderful to have follow up from 1 and 2 Corinthians as we come to this passage today. Remember, it seemed like the whole book of 2 Corinthians, we were dealing with the false apostles and how they distorted the truth of Paul's ministry. They distorted God's word, trying to make the people follow him. They poo-pooed, they put down all of Paul's ministry. They were trying to pull the people away from the truth of God's word. And Paul said, please pray that I would be delivered from these unreasonable and wicked men. And it appears as though very clearly that when Paul says here in verse 2 that we may be delivered from, and there's a what we call a definite article in the word before unreasonable, before the unreasonable. It seems as though there was probably a very particular situation or scenario in Paul's mind that was going on. If you would ask any one of our missionaries if they were willing to open up their heart a little bit, there's almost always a particular situation that's breaking their heart. Where God's word is not being glorified, where there are, whether in the church or influences from out the church, that are grieving. Now, I'm going to share with you today from a missionary that's not necessarily one that we support, but one that my wife and I love. It's her parents, okay? And you know them well, all right? They've been here plenty of times. And without giving all the details, as we were there, as Darcy and I was there this past summer, one family that's been around for a number of years, and in fact, had been even a possibility that Dad had thought, maybe this will be a man that could be the national leader of the church. Well, today that family is almost in rebellion against God's word. Their hearts are breaking. They've seen a couple of steps of encouragement. But it's those type of people that begin to pull others away. And you've got a little flock. They're hanging on for spiritual life. Their whole life and background is totally against God and His truth. And you see these young believers start growing in the Lord. And then Satan grabs a hold of one of them and starts turning them away. And as a missionary, your heart breaks because it's you can see down the road far enough to realize, oh, if the Lord doesn't intervene here, this could destroy our church. And we'd have to start from ground zero again. And what happens to all these young believers who are still needing to grow in the Lord, don't understand God's wonderful care and protection, and they can walk away from the Lord? Don't lose their salvation, praise God. Aren't you glad for that? But walk away from the Lord and their hearts hardened. Hardened to truth. Never again to walk close with the Lord. That breaks your heart. And so Paul is begging, pray, that God's word would have freedom to work, be glorified, but that we would be protected from unreasonable and wicked men who will pull people away. Destroy the gospel work. That's what 2 Corinthians is all about. The unreasonable men. These were wicked men as well, as he mentions in verse 2. They had a malignant temper. It was an act of evil. It's amazing, but wicked people don't seem to stop. Oh, would to God that we had believers who had an active heart like wickedness has. I understand that we are given in our flesh to the sinfulness of our lives. And so we have this natural tendency to fall back to sin, to fall back to being very active in our wickedness. May it not be a testimony of any of us here, but would we desperately pray for our missionaries that as they face sometimes very strong, cancerous, malignant evil, that God would stop them, that they would be delivered, freed from that. Paul makes the description really abundantly clear in verse 2. These are people that have not faith. What he was dealing with there were unbelievers that were influencing. Now, we're taking little jumps here. It's very interesting to my heart, though, as we've walked through 1 and 2 Corinthians, and we've talked about these false apostles that were there. Remember, they were teaching some kind of Judaism. You had to be a Jew in order to be a Christian. If this is the same scenario, if this is the same people that Paul is speaking about, and the likelihood is the answer that it is, notice what Paul is saying about these people that were in the church, acting like leaders in the church. He called them unbelievers. They have not faith. Now, wait a second. You say, well, that of course, that wouldn't happen here. No, hang on. This was a church that was started by the Apostle Paul. None of us can claim having our church started by an apostle. They're long gone. If anybody could have done church planning right, I think Apostle Paul could have, right? And by the way, he did. Okay, just so you know. Okay. And yet that church, in the midst of a pagan culture, were facing people, unbelievers coming in, trying to take advantage of that church family. This can happen anywhere. May God protect us as a church family, I understand. But more so, our focus and attention today is to be praying for our various missionaries. People come in and they say the right words. They look good. Remember, Satan himself looks like an angel of light. And then they get a foothold in the church. And this is, it happened with Paul, it can happen anywhere, especially with our missionaries. They're dealing with a different culture. They don't pick up sometimes on all the cues, the cultural cues that would help them understand and discern. Wait a second, this is a false person. I mean, let's admit, even in our own culture and time, we sometimes struggle with that. I think almost every one of us would have a testimony of some false person in the church that we've been in our lifetime, where it looked all good. Now, I remember my father telling me as a kid about a guy that came into their church, our church, in Durango, Colorado. Looked good. Said all the right words. What was he trying to do? I think I've told you the illustration. He was trying to sell horses to all the ranchers there. He collected the money and ran out of town. Now, that can happen anywhere. And what's worse, all right, so some men lost their money. That's sad. But they didn't lose their spirituality, their soul. What can happen on mission fields is these people will pull them away. And those young people that maybe don't know the Lord yet but have been hearing God's word, or even believers, are pulled away from the truth. Paul says, please pray that we would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men who have not faith. Believers, let us, as a part of our normal daily routine in our prayer life for our missionaries, in ministering to them, pray for their protection. Secondly, let's pray for their, what I call, prosperity. It's verses 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4. And Paul here is turning his attention to the Thessalonians, and his mind and heart, this is the believer's life. It's always a life of back and forth, discouragements and joys at the same time, especially for the minister of God. And so he turns to the Thessalonians in verse 3, but the Lord is faithful. And notice, I would anticipate in verse 3 that he would say something like, but the Lord is faithful. He's giving us some people there at Corinth that are responding to the preaching of God's word. The word of God is not bound in their heart. It's being swift and working, and they're not following wicked men. But notice what he says, the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you. We preached this in the last message, so I don't want to re-preach this, but the heart of Paul is amazing to me and a challenge at the same time. Here he is, he's begging them because he's facing a very big discouragement in Corinth. And yet as he turns to the Thessalonians, his mind turns and he says, oh, I know the Lord's faithful and I know that he'll establish you. His heart is ministry-minded always. It's not about Paul, it's about serving the Lord in the hearts and lives of people. But notice the joy that it brings, the prospering in Paul's mind that it brings. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. You see, he understood that the God, the Lord, who was, in fact, if we look here in Thessalonians, remember in chapter 2 he talked about the man of lawlessness? This person is the exact opposite. Of course, it's Jesus Christ. He is the man of the law, of the God's word. This is Christ, the Lord of lords and King of kings. He will be faithful. You can always trust on the Lord. And Paul was rejoicing that God in his faithfulness would continue to do work in the believers' lives in Thessalonica. God would do a great work. Paul had laid the foundation of preaching God's word. The Thessalonians had responded. And now he said, the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you. God would strengthen them and make them firm. He would settle them in their faith, grow them so they wouldn't be tossed to and fro by the wicked men. And so though he was in the midst of the battle at Corinth, he says, Thessalonians, the Lord is faithful. Trust him. He's the Lord of lords and King of kings. He is unlike the Antichrist that he had just referred to in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. You can trust him, and he will do his great work in your heart. Believers, let us, as we pray for our missionaries, pray that God would have the freedom to do his great work, like Paul was praying really for the Thessalonians here. The Lord will be faithful. He'll establish you. He'll build you up. He'll keep and guard you from even evil men. Let us pray that God's word would have such a good effect that the believers whose lives our missionaries touch would be established in the Lord. I'll again go back to my father-in-law because it's easy to relate to it. So God had what appeared to be allowed a national pastor, this is somebody else in the church family, to come in and actually become the pastor of the church there in Page. Unfortunately, that man didn't follow the Lord. Our hearts are broken over it. Even though Dad had poured years and months and hours of work into that man, and the missionaries there had thought that he was the right one to lead that church so that then they could go on and train other men, establish other churches. You see, that man resisted the faithful work of God in his life. They weren't established anymore. Let us pray that those that the missionaries minister to will be established in the Lord. He goes on in verse 4, just to kind of strengthen the whole idea. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Paul was so assured of God's work in the Thessalonians' life that he could with confidence, he was persuaded, his heart and mind was persuaded that God's work was so fully established in the hearts of the Thessalonians that they would do and keep on doing God's commands. Everything that God wanted them to do, the Thessalonians had given indication that they would follow and obey. I will tell you, our hearts, Abby and I's hearts rejoice, and my heart rejoice when we see in your lives, believers here, a desire and a passion for obeying God's commands. That is encouragement to our hearts. How much more so for our missionaries when they're on the field? I have the joy of fellowshipping with all kinds of believers all around. I mean, if you guys would leave me, I would still have fellowship. Not putting you down. I'm not in any way. I want your fellowship. I desire it. You're the cherished, most cherished fellowship we have. But we live in a country where there's multiple believers. Many of our missionaries serve where the only believers are those right there in their church. That's it. There may be a fellow missionary in a city several hours away, not easy to communicate with. And that church becomes the core upon which even the missionary finds encouragement. And to have a brother or sister in Christ there who has a passion to follow the Lord can provide a lot of encouragement for that missionary. He senses that God is using him. And that can be a great encouragement for the minister of God. Let us pray that God would prosper the work of our missionaries so that those to whom they minister would be established in the faith and be a joy, a rejoicing to the missionary. Really, as I put it this way, under praying for their prosperity, pray that the people they minister to would rely on the Lord, that's verse 3 again, and that they would rejoice in God's people. Every one of us, we know, we've been made social creatures. We need each other. I can't, even though those of you that are like, you feel like you're a hermit, you could just give me a book and leave me alone. Well, there's some reality to that. But even you, there come a time at which that book doesn't talk back to you. We've talked about this, you know, you get a pet. Oh, great. I can live life with just my dog. No, you can't. God didn't make you that way. Every once in a while, you know, you want to hear some communication back. God has made us that way. And we need to pray that our missionaries will find the joy of God's people encouraging them as they serve the Lord on the field. Finally today, not only should we pray for their protection, verse 1 and 2, and for their prosperity, verses 3 and 4, that God would help their ministry prosper, but let's pray for their peace. Their peace. Verse 5. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Let's talk about some linguistic things here just real quick because I want you to see the wonderful balance here. Paul is asking that God would direct the Thessalonians' hearts into the love of God. And then the next phrase, into the patient waiting or the endurance. And it probably is better translated of Christ. The Greek construction, I'm being a little technical, you don't usually do this, but it's the exact same wording as love of God, so it would be patience of Christ. It would be the exact same wording. That probably is the idea, but the application is really clear for us, even here in God's Word. If I'm going to be in waiting for the Lord, waiting, having patience like Christ, what will I do? I'll be patiently waiting for Him, won't I? We're looking forward to the Lord's return, are we not? Now, okay, so that in mind, Paul here seems to be really opening up a heart again. He seems to be speaking here from experience. He's not just saying, Thessalonians, all right, I trust that the Lord will direct you into His love and into the patience of Christ as you walk with Him. And there's no sense that he doesn't really hasn't ever experienced it before. No, he's speaking from a heart full of knowing the love of God and the patience of Christ being lived out in his life. Again, our study through 2 Corinthians, remember in chapter 12, Paul begged God thrice that he remove the thorn in the flesh. And God said, no, you need that. And Paul said, okay, so I'll rejoice in my weakness because when I am weak, then I am strong. then God is glorified. God does the work through me. I realize it's not me at all. And my grace, God says to Paul, is sufficient. So he's a man that's speaking from experience, and he says, I pray for you Thessalonians that God would direct you into His love and into the wonderful patience of Christ, that you would experience that joy and blessing in your own life. That you would enjoy a purposeful life, that even though trials and tribulations may come, Thessalonians, and they had faced plenty of persecution and appeared to be continuing to face that persecution, that you would find the endurance of Christ through that, knowing that God loves you. He gave you spiritual life. He lives an example of love and how to love even your enemies who persecute you. And Paul says, Thessalonians, I want that for you. Because there you find peace. There you find the joy of the Lord. We often relate to this in the midst of our own personal trials. We as American Christians haven't faced much persecution. We're made fun of at times. The door slammed in our face. The worker says, get out of my hair. We may face more persecution in the days soon ahead. So our correlation and point of comparison here is often in our own personal trials, whether the physical or spiritual. And yet that same peace and joy that comes when I know that God loves me and that my Savior has set the example of enduring. The passage this morning that Paul, Tim read was just perfect. Keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, who endured the cross. That brings great peace and stability to our times of trial. Now, let's extrapolate that then quickly in application to our missionaries. Our missionaries often do face persecution. Or at least their church family does. Where there's great resistance against God's Word. Though God's Word is being glorified in their midst, they're being delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Though those people are being established in their faith, so that even the missionary can say of those that are in his church with confidence, I know they're growing in the Lord. They face challenges and persecution that we don't, none of us, including your pastor, fully understand, including our missionaries, in fact, those people in that culture. And I think we need to do the same prayer that Paul prays for the Thessalonians, for our missionaries, for the people that they serve. Lord, would you direct their lives into the love of God and into the patient waiting of Christ, that they can stay faithful to the Lord until the Lord returns or until God takes them home. We live such a cushy life here. If we want to be a Christian, we can. If we don't want to be, we don't have to be. My meals are met. I've got a job. It doesn't matter if I'm a Christian or not. For many of our brethren around this world, that's not the case. Today, people are dying because they claim the name of Christ. And our missionaries are dealing with some of them. I don't know the Baruchs in Israel. I know that our church has supported them for many years. I've been trying to reestablish some connection with them. As I read their letters on occasion, I'm amazed at what the simplicity of that ministry. It sounds like all they're trying to do is just try to help one soul who is in an Arabic world that's against Jesus Christ, and trying to just encourage that, whether it's a believer or unbeliever, to take one more step spiritually. We will never fully know and understand, but it doesn't matter. We can still pray, can we not? Let's pray that these people that our missionaries reach will understand and get to know our loving God, who will help them through every trial, who will help them face the persecution and a culture that's totally against them, and that God would give them the strength to have the endurance like their Savior Christ, to be faithful to the end. Is it not a heartbreak among us when we see a brother or sister in Christ who walks away from the Lord? It is. Our heart breaks. Our hearts are burdened. Oh, that they would just come back. And I've seen you folks, as we've had that happen even since I've been here, someone walk, and then they come back, and you love on them to death. It's a joy. They're back with the Lord. How much more so on the mission field do we need to pray that God would protect their people, the people that our missionaries are ministering to, that they would know the love of God and the patience and endurance of Christ. Oh, believer, our prayer ministry is critical to the spiritual vitality of every one of our missionaries' ministries. Let us be faithful. We often talk about, we have the sign-up sheet once a year at the end of missions conference where we're going to sign up and plan to pray for one of our missionaries, two of our missionaries, three of our missionaries every day. All right, now, here's some things that you can add to your prayer list for them. You don't get to communicate with them basically every day. I understand, no problem. Although that's a lot easier today. Keep that up too. But let us be faithful in our ministry. Paul begged the Thessalonians, pray for me, please. I need your prayers. So let's pray for their protection. That the word of the Lord would be have free course and be glorified. That they would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Let's pray for their prosperity and their work. That the people that they minister would learn to rely on the Lord and rejoice in God's people. That the missionaries themselves will be encouraged by their fellow believers that are there among them. And let's pray for peace, specifically for those to whom they minister. Yes, at times our missionaries need that peace, but those to whom they minister need it desperately. That they would know and experience the love of God and the patient endurance, the patient waiting of Christ. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to not be negligent in the ministry of prayer. We have to, by faith, understand and know that that ministry is vital because often we don't see the fruits of it. We see little glimpses here and there, but we should not be discouraged in our ministry of prayer. Help us to uphold our missionaries. Lord, the applications are numerous, really, in our lives and in the lives of our missionaries and the lives of those to whom they minister to from this passage. May we focus today on being faithful, praying rightly for our missionaries. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, this is going to be a different invitation than we normally have here, but I think it's appropriate after this message. How many would say, Pastor, I will join you in letting this become a regular part of my prayer life for my missionaries? That I'll pray for their protection in light of what we mean here by God's word, for their prosperity and for their peace and the peace of God's people. And by an upraised hand today, you'd say, Pastor, I want to make that a part of my daily life as well. How many will join me and say, yes, I'm going to do that. Amen. Amen. Be faithful to it, people. Be faithful. Know that the Lord sees your hand. Amen. You can put your hands down. I trust that through the ministry of prayer that we have as a church family, that God would allow us to every once in a while get glimpses of seeing answers to these very specific prayers. Now, let me ask another question or two. Believer, are you prospering in the Lord today? Is your heart at peace with the Lord today? Does the word of the Lord have free course in your own life? Maybe today God's Spirit has by His word convicted your heart and you'd say, Pastor, I see some areas in my own life and I need to take some steps spiritually. I need to let the word of the Lord have free course that I don't rebel against it, that I say yes to it every time, that I learn to lean on the Lord and have the endurance of Christ. Maybe those are one of your needs today and there's a very specific point that God is convicting your heart and working your heart and life today. And I could just by an encouragement pray for you. You'd say, Pastor, that's my need today. Would you pray for me? Anyone quietly slip their hand in there and say, that's what God is doing in my heart today. Yes, amen. 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 Yes. 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 Finally, are you here today without Christ? I have not shared the gospel in its entirety, but do know that Christ came because He loved you. Our Heavenly Father loved you. He died and took the place for you so that you would not have to face an eternity in hell for the punishment for your sin. Your relationship with God is broken. Christ offers you that relationship to be restored through His work on the cross of Calvary, conquering death and rising again. Are you here today without eternal life? Could I today pray for you and say, Pastor, please pray for me. I need to be saved today. That's my need. Can I pray for you right now? My prayer won't save you, but I'm rejoiced to pray for you and be an encouragement to you in a couple minutes. You'd say, Pastor, that's my need. I need to be saved today. Can I pray for you? Anyone at all? Quiet, let's slip their hand in the air. Pastor, that's my need today. So, Lord, help us to be faithful in prayer. This church is a praying church. We rejoice to see that years ago when we came. Thank you that you've continued to use us. And I pray that you would help us to grow, be better prayer warriors for you. And so we'll pray that the Lord would prosper the work of our missionaries, that those who hear the word of God would heed it, obey it, and grow in Christ, that you would provide peace for our missionaries and for those who hear God's word, that they would know the love of God and the endurance of Christ. Lord, we pray that you would protect them, that the word of God would always in their ministries have free course and be glorified, that you would deliver them from unreasonable and wicked men who have not faith. So, Lord, help us to be faithful in that ministry. Help us, those today that you've worked in our hearts, brought some areas of conviction as in our own personal responses to the Word of God. May we be quick to submit to it, your work in our life. And if there's one here today without the Savior, draw them to thyself. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Opportunity for you to respond to God's work in your heart. Maybe you need to come and say, Lord, would you help me to be faithful in these matters of prayer? Well, come. Spend some moments with the Lord here at the front steps or at the front pew. If you need some counsel or encouragement, maybe it's one of those areas that God is convicting in your own personal life and your response to the Word of God. And you'd like someone to just be an encouragement to you. Well, catch my hand. We'd be delighted to have someone step aside and spend some time in prayer and give you some encouragement from God's Word today. If you're here today without the Savior, oh, come catch my hand. We would be delighted to share the gospel with you. And you could leave here today knowing for sure you're on your way to heaven. So as God's working your heart, our instruments will play through an invitation hymn. You respond as God's working.